This is Caps PA announcer Wes Johnson, and you're listening to For the Pod.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to a brand new edition of What the Puck. It is a Washington Capitals podcast, which means it's a podcast about your 2018 Stanley Cup champions. Thank you all for listening to us on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, TuneIn, Player.fm, Overcast, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Facebook, and YouTube. And with Coach Dan fixing it, that's all true. We are available in all those places, thankfully. We actually showed up on Facebook for the first time last week. I'm so psyched.
Ever.
Honestly, that's the first time we've ever been on Facebook where it wasn't a video I uploaded. They just were able to get into our RSS feed and just take it that way, and I'm so happy that worked. So thanks a lot, Coach Dan, for that. Here we are.
Welcome, everybody.
It is December. Coach Dan is happy. He's a computer whiz kid. But we got the Caps to talk about. That's right. Well, computer whiz, middle-aged man.
Okay, calm down. Not middle-aged, you jerk. No, I got stuff to do. I ain't got time for that.
You got stuff to do. All right, fine. Well, hey, you know who's got stuff to do? The Caps, because they're winning things. That's what they're doing. Segue right there. The Caps coming off a rough end to November, but or the last game, I should say, that they played up against the Anaheim Ducks, had a really good showing, and they were able to sneak away with a win and actually win in an overtime game. Something different
what?
We haven't seen. First one of the year.
I feel like the first one ever. They're like, wait a minute. After the third period, we can still keep playing?
After the second period, we can still keep playing? That's different.
Yeah, well, that's another whole other thing. Well, they seem to have overcome a bit of that recently. But yes, they were able to finally come out. They beat Anaheim. It only took, a quarter of the way into the season for them to realize, a little more than that, for them to realize, oh, we can win a game in overtime. That's crazy. And a little embarrassing that they didn't do that until then. But, it is what it is. They certainly could be in not that they're in a bad spot. I mean, they're top of the league in points as of this recording. But they...
Top of the league!
Where are the standings going? I just had them open. No, I didn't.
I mean, if you listen to our show, you'd think that they were, getting the number one draft pick or something.
No, kind of. I know. And, it's weird because the other day I was just like, I don't know. I don't know about Laviolette. I don't know if it's really working all that well. Some games are better than others, but they can't win in overtime. The power play is garbage. And then I was like, wait a minute. But they have been winning some games. They currently have 38 points. So they're top of the league right now. I mean, they played two more games than Florida, who's only 1 point behind them. So, Florida could be on top of the league with another win. Still have a game in hand. But the Caps are doing really well. And then when you look at Laviolette, they were talking about Caps this morning, that after the Anaheim game, Laviolette has coached 82 games with the Capitals. Right. So he's had a full season at this point, right? Last year was a shortened season. So the statistics also are kind of weird because, you have changes in players in the offseason and whatever else. And so take this with a grain of salt. But through his first 82 games, what should be the equivalent of a regular season, the Caps have gone 52-19-11.
That's not bad.
That's not bad. Although, of those 11 ties, six of them are from this season. Sorry, not ties. Overtime losses. Six of them are from this season. So that's something that's got going wrong so far this year. That should be better.
Right.
But it's 115 points, which is pretty good. He's got the most wins and the most points amongst any coach in team history through their first 82 games.
Beating out Bruce Boudreau.
That is correct. He beat out club legend Bruce Boudreau, who we'll talk about a little later.
That's right. Yeah, we will. Good for Gabby. We'll talk about him in a little bit. But yeah, that's what I mean. It's hard for us to sit here and complain about this team, complain about the coach when...
No, it's not!
When he's winning. yes, the playoffs really sucked last year. But Laviolette came in during a pandemic, obviously wasn't the best way to start your coaching career with the Capitals.
No.
But, I mean, he's winning. Ovi's doing really well as Ovi does things.
It's not even that. Sorry to cut you off with Ovechkin.
And the defense as well, I want to bring up. Laviolette's always been really good with the defense. The defense has majorly improved, even though if you look at that game, who was it against? Last week. I'll remember in a second. But the defense. We kind of like gave the defense props last Wednesday.
Chicago game?
Yeah, and then they came out and crapped the bed, like you like to say, defensive-wise. So, yeah, that was bad.
They made a mess in the sheets.
Yeah. Wait, but anyway, yeah, no, go on. You want to talk about Ovi doing things. But, like, Laviolette, he came in. He has improved this team. And he's doing it this year without a lot of his starters.
That's true. I mean, that's a very good point. He's doing this without Oshie for the most part, or for a significant portion. Backstrom hasn't seen the ice yet. He's got now Dowd, Hathaway, and Van Riemsdyk are all out with in the COVID protocols. I don't know. Do they have the virus, or they're just potentially around someone who had the virus?
I mean, with the amount of time that they've been out, I assume that they have.
Well, no,
the
because
virus.
You have to stay out. If you are a close contact with someone who tested positive, you have to stay out a certain amount of time before you can be tested to officially know if you have the virus or not. So, like, they may not have it, but still may miss a few games as a result, just depending on the schedule lays out.
Yeah, it's been kind of nuts because we know Lars Eller had it. He came back. He said the quarantine, the 10-day quarantine, was actually worse than the actual virus for him. But he was stuck in Anaheim. He was stuck in that hotel room in Anaheim.
Oh, no, he was stuck in warm weather.
Well, he couldn't go outside. He was stuck in his hotel room.
Open the window! Like, it's supposed to freaking snow here, which, and not even like good snow. It's supposed to be like slushy crap that we're gonna get tomorrow. And we're in the fun snow, and he's like, I was stuck in Anaheim. Screw you, Eller.
Well, Eller was the only one to test
whiny
positive
baby.
At that point when they were in
thankfully
California.
He's okay.
Yeah, he said he had some symptoms, but he still had to do the 10-day quarantine, stuck in Anaheim. But this apparently happened after the Carolina game. Carolina had an outbreak right around the same time, so they're thinking maybe Eller had it. And now these guys, I guess it's been 2 weeks.
Wait, they're thinking Eller gave it to Carolina?
No, he got it after the Carolina game.
So, oh, okay, I misunderstood.
Yeah, playing against Carolina, they think Eller may have picked it up then. They're doing all kinds of contact tracing, you know, with the way the NHL is doing their protocol thing. But he potentially...
Let me tell you, as someone who's had to do that before, contact tracing, it is not fun.
Yeah.
It is a pain to figure out.
I have not had to go through that, thankfully. You know, knock on wood, I won't have to. But, yeah, the contact tracing, I have to imagine, like, asking someone where they've been and who they've been around and all that kind of stuff is rough.
No bueno.
Yeah.
No, it is no bueno. But you were talking about Ovechkin a few moments ago in terms of his play. And you were talking about how Laviolette's been doing this without these star players. No Backstrom, no Oshie, no Mantha, no Eller for a little bit. Who else has been out? You know, everyone's been out at some point. It seems like at this point, except for Wilson and Ovechkin. But when you talk about Ovechkin, he's definitely stepping up. So are a lot of the other guys, but he's definitely stepping up in his play. And you know, everybody keeps talking about how he's going for Gretzky's record. He's going for the most goals ever scored in the NHL. He's got more assists right now than goals.
Oh, he's such a selfish player, though.
He's a completely selfish player.
Really?
21 assists to 20 goals. He's got 41 points. The closest player to him in points right now is Kuznetsov, who has 28 points. He's got 8 goals and 20 assists. Ovechkin has more assists than Kuznetsov, and he's got more goals than everybody. He's got way more points. I mean, he's almost... No, he'd have to get a lot more points in a short amount of time to be a, like, 2 point per game player, but he's definitely a point per game player. As is Kuznetsov right now. Wilson's almost a point per game player. Carlson is almost as well. I mean, you've got these kind of guys are stepping up when your other players are out, but then you're getting production from Garnet Hathaway. He's got 7 goals. How did Garnet Hathaway get 7 goals all of a sudden? Well, you got he's putting up points. Eller's doing okay. You'd like to see him do a little bit better. He's only got 8 points in 20 games. I'm sorry, 10 points in 20 games, 8 assists. Orlov stepping up offensively. I mean, the other people are you know, you got McMichael's got 8 in 24. He's got 3 goals, but he's starting to play. He's getting more comfortable as he goes forward. Sprong's been struggling a little bit. But you've got Protas has got 2. Hagelin finally scored. Leeson has had 2. You know, you're getting production from throughout your lineup with players that are stepping in that weren't expected to be here. And that's what you need when you have players that are going out. And that's what the Caps are getting right now, and that's why they're on top of the league.
Yeah, it's been like we talked about this, I think, last week, week before, about these Hershey Bear guys coming up. And I got to go to the game against Anaheim, and some of these players, I was, you know, next to my girlfriend going, I don't know who that is. I don't know who that is. I don't know who that is. it was very, very funny to kind of be like, I don't know who half these guys are, but I'll say this, seeing these guys in person, I had no idea a lot of these Hershey Bears were so tall. All these guys, you know, like we talk about it. Brian McClellan likes the big, bulky guys, the big, like the goon-esque type players. Definitely more skillful than a goon, but they look like goon. He likes those big guys, those big bodies. These Hershey Bears, these are all massive dudes, and they can move, and they can skate, and they can fly down the ice, but they're also these big body athletes, which I was kind of surprised to see, because you say Hershey Bears, you kind of think Henrik Lapierre, like a young guy who's like, you're like, all right, in a year or two, he can put on some weight and he might, you know, be a threat in the NHL. These guys are massive hockey players right now. It's crazy.
I mean, yeah, these are, I mean, they're big guys, and it does kind of question some of the planning for the Capitals, considering the struggles. I mean, they came out with a win, but the struggles they had against Anaheim being that they are a young, fast team. And the Caps are bigger and a bit slower. And are they going in the wrong direction in terms of their style of play compared to the rest of the NHL? Now, big and not slow, but big and strong and quality checking is what has you, you know, you get you wins in the playoffs. That can always change. But, you know, there is some concern about having a bunch of big, slow guys because you just get beat up and down the ice by younger, faster teams.
It's very true, and we saw that firsthand against the Bruins in round one of the Stanley Cup playoffs last year. These guys were coming out. They were swinging. They were playing big body hockey, and after that first game, they were like, geez, that was rough. I'm tired. So they made a quick exit outside of the playoffs. But this team, we're what, a quarter of the way through the season right now? We're at about like 20 games or so, maybe a little underneath a quarter. These guys are coming away with points, which is good. Are some of these like garbage points because they just keep making it to overtime? Yeah, I think so. But it's good that these guys have this younger talent that is saving their butts right now as we wait for these star players to come back. TJ Oshie is back on the ice. Being able to see him against Anaheim was really a treat. When Carl Hagelin got his first goal of the year, TJ Oshie was out there on the ice, and luckily my girlfriend got me these tickets. They were lower bowl. We were eight rows off the ice. Oshie's face lit up when Hagelin got that goal. And, we always used to say that Ovi seems happier when his other teammates score besides him, and he's just so excited. That's the way Oshie looked. Oshie looked like he was so incredibly happy for Hagelin, and that he was just so happy that his teammate was able to get that goal and get that monkey off his back of not scoring yet into the season. So we have a team full of great players, good leaders. All of that stuff is really important in the stretch of this long season. And we're seeing that right now because this team has not been perfect. There's a lot of people up and down and out for injuries or COVID right now. So getting these points and racking up these wins, you want this team to do that now. Because, I mean, tomorrow, who knows? We already know the Capitals have canceled their practice for Wednesday out of a precaution for this COVID outbreak that's kind of happening, because we saw what happened in Hershey. They had to postpone a bunch of games. Same thing happened with the New York Islanders because of COVID. The Capitals definitely don't want to see this trend continue with the outbreak they're having, especially since they right now have three players out, unfortunately. So we'll see what, as the week progresses, what happens. But I think the Capitals right now, on the ice and off the ice, they're playing a very smart brand of hockey.
I don't think there's really a lot that we can say in terms of how they're doing, because it's working. Like we said, they're on top of the league. There are things to be concerned about. The goaltending is still a little bit of a question mark, although Samsonov is playing exceptionally well, especially as of late. Yeah. And his record speaks for itself right now. He's 11-1-1. You know, his GAA is 2.42. He's got a save percentage of .916.
And you wanted to send him to Hershey.
Well, I think he'd be playing even better if I did. So, no, he's, you know, he's playing well. I think that's what you need right now. You know, with the power play still struggling and with players still coming out, you need everybody else to step up. And that's what you're getting throughout the lineup. And, you know, think about where this team could be, how many more points they could have if, one, they could win in freaking overtime. But then also if their power play was clicking. I mean, let me check, do a real quick check in terms of the power play stats by team, but I don't imagine they're much better than they were before in terms of the Caps. Like themselves. It's, you know, it's a little too stale. It's kind of boring. Where is power play percentage? That can't be right. Oh, no, that's not right. Oh, there it is. Okay. I was like, that's like 60%. No one is scoring at a 60% rate. Like, at that point, when someone gets a power play, you're like, just go ahead.
Right.
Like, it's a goal. Where are you guys? They are 20th in the league in power play right now.
Yeah, that,
that's 2-0. That's a problem.
Something to improve there, because that's way too
PK,
much.
They're 12th. I mean, that needs improvement, but the power play definitely needs improvement, and they could be flying by that point. And then think about once they get all their guys back, like Mantha, Backstrom starts playing, Oshie gets more comfortable, you know, then you have an opportunity to really get things going. And maybe, you know, you make a trade and bring in a second line winger to play with Backstrom and Mantha. You know, then you really are getting things going with Oshie playing on that third line. So, you know, this room, this team still has room to grow, but what they're doing right now is working.
Now,
you know, fix the things that are not working. Keep up playing well. The standings are a little misleading because they played 3 more games in the Rangers. They played 3 more games in Carolina. They're only 2 points. They're 3 points up on the Rangers, but they played 3 more games. They are 5 points up on Carolina, but they played 3 more games. So the standings are a little misleading at this point. You know, like I said before, they've played 2 more games in Florida, but they're only 1 point up on them. They've played the same amount of games as Toronto. They're 2 points up on them. So it's not quite, you know, if everybody's playing the same amount of games, depending on how these, the ones that are different end up, you know, they may not be on top of the league. They could be as far back as third in the division. So they need to fix the things that are not working right now so they have an opportunity to continue to be on top of the division and the league.
Now, we know that the Capitals love overtime, and they finally were able to win one.
It's their favoritest thing ever.
It's true. We went. It was sudden death. It was a sudden death shootout. I mean, you couldn't ask for a more dramatic game against Anaheim. But the Caps started the second period, 9 seconds in. The Ducks were able to get a goal. We were saying last week how much we were impressed with the defense and what they were doing. But with these games continually going to overtime and giving up these goals like 9 seconds into the second period, is there an issue on defense that we're not talking about? Because why do these games, I mean, 6 games into a season, why are these games going into overtime at all? Because we do have goal scorers on every single line right now. I mean, what did we say last week? It was 6 rookies that had scored a goal this year.
Yeah.
Ovechkin's having one of the best seasons of his career. Yevgeny Kuznetsov is doing really well. Tom Wilson just got his 100th goal. I mean, all 4 lines are scoring, but why do you think it is this team just can't finish it in regulation? Is it a defense issue? Is it an offense issue? Is it a goalie issue? Is it a combination of all of that? What do you think?
I think they just don't want to go home.
They don't want to quarantine back in the hotel room.
No, they want to stay at the rink, hang out with their buddies, keep playing a little bit longer. That's what, I mean, I feel like that would be what I would want to do in that regard. So, no, I that was a joke. I don't know. It's kind of tough to say because I think part of the issue is that they just have I don't even know if it's a lack of focus or is it a lack of, trying to think of the right word here, energy almost to an extent when they come out to go into the next period.
So is that an age?
So they come
thing
into the second or come into the third? No, because they don't. They're not all over 35. You know, they do have some, they like we said, we've had a lot of young players that have come up and scored because, you know, they've had guys that are out. So it's not just, it can't just be an age thing, right? Mm-hmm. I think it's a lack of focus. I think it's a lack of coaching to an extent. And I think it's a lack of, it goes back to saying, it's a lack of overall energy to start a period. I don't know what they need to do to get themselves fired up and ready to go back out, because it seems to be working for other teams that can come out and can produce, and the Capitals can't either produce or stop another team from producing. And I think it's something the coaching staff really has to look at in terms of figuring out what can they do to stop that from being an issue. And it's a matter of, I think, getting them ready in the locker room, whether it's getting them fired up. I mean, maybe they got to go in and start calling. And Miracle, what did he call the dude when he got like a minor injury and didn't think he could play?
I don't remember.
I don't want to. I know it's like a candy ass, you know. And just, you know, I don't know if that's
first time you don't want to curse.
I know. Right? Well, my son was like walking by, so I wasn't trying to like just yell it out. But you know, I don't know if that's what it is. Like Laviolette needs to just pick a player every period and be like, Michael, you are terrible. Or, you know, start dropping F-bombs at him like Boudreaux and get him fired up. Although I don't think Boudreaux actually dropping F-bombs at people so much as he was just dropping them as part of his vernacular.
Just standing up. All right. Well, you know, I got to go to the game, like I brought up multiple times already, on Monday, up against the Anaheim Ducks. I want to talk a little bit about the experience going to the game, because I don't think I have been to a game since before they won the Stanley Cup, if I'm remembering correctly. I it's been a very long time since I've got to go to a game. But this was interesting because this was their holiday party game, so everyone got a free T-shirt. So we walk in and...
Is that what you're wearing right now?
That's what I'm wearing
right now.
Oh,
that's right. You told me last week. Okay, is mine on the way?
I mean, you know, you gotta check Santa's list, make sure you're on the right one.
Oh,
I guess
I'm definitely not getting that. 100% getting a lump of coal this year.
Well, I was expecting, you know, what they normally do: you get your ticket scanned and then you get your giveaway at the door, right? And also, my girlfriend and I got there $4.95, not crowded. Like, it only took me 45
minutes.
Wait,
which way did you go?
From 95 south.
Outer loop or inner loop?
I don't know. I go from 90, 95 to Silver
you
Spring.
You had the same thing up there in Baltimore, 695. Were you going through Virginia, or did you go around like PG
County? Why would I go through Virginia? I'm in the north.
No, because you would come and then go across. Doesn't, no, never mind. No, because you would take, I guess you're coming down 95, not 270. God, that makes more sense. Freaking. Okay. Hey, look, calm down, Baltimore.
Yeah, whatever, Olney. It's not even a word. It's a sound.
I don't live in Olney anymore. We Oops. Moved like 3 years ago.
I'm glad I haven't mailed your gift yet.
Have you sent stuff to me?
Yeah, I have. I got your kid a stick.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Yeah, we had to take that away from him a couple days ago.
Oh, great. Lovely.
He got it back. He got it back.
All right. Well, yeah. So I was on 495 from 95. I park at Silver Spring because there's a lot by the old Discovery building that you can get to, and it's free parking after 5, which actually they did say that they're changing in January. So I saw that on the door. So it's probably the last time I get to park freely at Silver Spring. But we took the Metro in, and we were looking for a place to eat. Most of the places around the stadium are gone or shuttered. Like, yeah, there's still like the McDonald's or the Dunkin' attached to the arena, but any place that I would normally go with our buddy Phil before a game is gone. I was a little excited because they have a Nando's.
Ooh, a Nando's.
Yeah, they have a Nando's, That's but fine. My girlfriend was not feeling the Nando's. We tried to go to Clyde's. They had an hour wait. We're like, all right, well, the door's open in 20 minutes. Why would we do that? There was a Christmas market across the street. We're like, let's go check that out. It was closed. So we're like, all right, well, I guess we're just standing in line and waiting for the doors to open. And we were the first people at the front door to get into the place. So I'm like, all right, this is we're only like 20 minutes away from doors opening, and it's a shortened time to get into the building anyway. Puck drops at 7. You can't get in till 6. Then you go in. You know, they search your stuff. They it's all contactless, so you get your ticket scanned by a machine now. And then there's nobody handing out the free T-shirts. So I'm like, where's our T-shirt? Like, is this going to be like an Oriole thing where you got to like check back in a week or so to pick one up later on, which I've had happen before at Camden Yards. But no, they put them on the back of every single seat in the arena.
Wow.
So I guess so people don't touch other stuff or try to grab stuff or whatever, they did that.
But then you could just go and swipe everybody's.
Well, that's the thing. This game was nowhere near a sellout. At all. We were 8 rows off the ice, and there were 2 Ducks fans next to us, and then the rest of the row was completely empty the entire game. There was one guy in a like a lumberjack button-down shirt who I don't know why he was at a Caps game, but he was drinking his Miller Lite and just got done cutting down a tree, so then he went to the Caps game after, and he sits down like halfway through the second, a couple seats away from us, sits down in the seat, takes a sip of beer, and then picks up a shirt and leaves. I'm like, dude, you ain't that slick. Like, you want the shirt, just take the shirt. 10 minutes later, he comes down, sits in a different seat, takes another shirt. So my girlfriend's just kind of like, all right, well, I guess it's free T-shirt time. We're halfway through the second. And from the beginning of the game, where most of the seats were red from those T-shirts, all the empty seats, they all turned blue by about, you know, halfway through the second, because I guess everyone was like, all right, this person's not showing up, free T-shirt for me. And it was just like a free-for-all
at that
point.
They're all going on eBay.
Yeah, exactly, is what they're doing. Well, I think most people are like, hey, you know, it's a Christmas gift. I have to buy this kid a gift now.
There you go. That's thinking with your brain.
Right. I was thinking, though, because this was the holiday party, I thought there'd be like, they said there would be Santa Slapshot. I was thinking Red Rockers, but apparently, like, the Red Rockers pre-COVID, they're not doing that anymore. Like, that's not a thing. So there was nobody walking around taking pictures or like cheering or anything like that. Santa Slapshot, I thought, would be like him on a throne somewhere, and then you get like a photo op opportunity. That wasn't happening. So like all of like
that's not gonna work during COVID, man.
All the bells and whistles of going to a Caps game, I think, because of COVID, all of that's gone. So literally, you're there to buy food, buy merch, and then you sit down in your seat, and that's it. So I understand.
That's kind of what I do in a game anyway. So
no,
doesn't sound like it's all that different for me.
I will watch a game on TV. I want to go to a game for all the bells and whistles. I want all the extra stuff. I want the like those stress ball pucks.
I just want the bell when they score. Yeah, that's true. I do want freebies. I always love going to games where I'm like, what's the freebie this one?
Right. I want the free stuff. That's what I'm for. And yes, the T-shirt's very nice. Got to thank my girlfriend again for getting me this as the Christmas gift. I've never sat that close for a game before. That was amazing.
Oh, it's fun.
Yeah. I've sat close twice. Once was in a suite, and then once was a couple rows under the suites. But I've never sat 8 rows off the ice during a regular season game. I have snuck down there during preseason games, but never during the regular season. So that was really awesome. It was a great gift. Thank you so much to m'lady for that one. it was a fun game, but you can definitely tell that COVID has taken a toll on the in-game experience. But honestly, I can't fault any sporting event for that right now. We all have to be safe, and luckily we all can come together and watch a game. I kept my mask on the entire time. A lot of people did not, but it's it is what it is. If you're for it or against it, whatever. That's just the times we're living in right now. So I look forward to a day where we can get pictures with Slapshot again, and we can have people walking around cheering and getting people to cheer in the concourse, that kind of thing. Food was weird, though. Like, it was like you order it on a screen and then pick it up at a window. The popcorn bags were all really tiny, but is what it is. It was a great game, though. There was I got to see a fight. It was the first major penalty the Caps have taken all year. So that's
I didn't expect that.
That's what are we, 26 games in? And it's the first fighting major that Tom Wilson has gotten this year. Look at that Willy baby growing up right in front of our eyes.
Well, they've been talking about one thing they talked about. This is on Caps this morning. They were talking about how they've been playing with the lead a lot.
Right.
And I think they may have talked this before, but someone else had mentioned that it makes a lot of sense that they also have been playing without a lot of veteran guys.
Right.
So spending 5 minutes a game of your, say, 22 minutes of ice time that you normally get in the penalty box for fighting, just it doesn't make a lot of sense when you think about it. So, once I thought about that, I was like, you know what? It does make a lot more sense that they haven't had as many fighting majors because just it doesn't benefit the team at all.
I would think, though, that some
unless it's Brad Marchand.
I would think some up-and-comers, though, would kind of want to show that they're willing to do anything for Jersey and to have him play. But I agree with you. You want to impress with what you can do on the ice, not by sitting in the penalty box. But, you know, I don't think any of these players, if somebody says, hey, let's drop the mitts, I don't think that any of them are going to go, nah, I'm good. I think they still would do it. But I do agree with you. You want to show what you can do on the ice. You want to have that chance to score goals. You don't just want to be able to throw haymakers. And Tom Wilson showed that because he got his 100th goal of his career last night.
That's true. Congratulations to him. Probably a lot more than some people expected.
I know. Horrific acts of violence from that Tom Wilson.
You would wonder how many more goals he'd have if he'd stop getting suspended.
Right. Right.
So.
Top line Tom.
At the moment, he's playing like it.
Yeah. Let's see. Anything else we should cover in Caps World? We got a little bit of a break coming up here. The Caps don't play again until Friday up against those pesky Penguins.
Yeah, it's kind of weird that they have this long break, but to be honest, with the injuries and the guys in the COVID protocol, it's not necessarily the worst thing right now.
That's going to be huge. Think about that, though. You got the Penguins coming up on Friday. This is a big opportunity for a lot of these Hershey Bears. I think everybody knows that rivalry between the Caps and the Penguins. And a lot of these younger players kind of grew up watching that Ovechkin-Crosby rivalry as well as they were becoming hockey players. So that's got to be a big game for a lot of these young guys.
Yeah, I mean, it can be a statement game for some of them in terms of where they see themselves and their importance to this team and how much they want to stay up here by producing in a game that's as highly anticipated and as important as a game against Pittsburgh.
Yeah. Anything else we should cover in Caps World?
No, I think we've pretty much covered it.
All right. Well, hey, that's it for what's going on in Caps World. Now let's go down on the farm. All right, everybody, here we go. We're going down on the farm. We are talking Hershey Bears and South Carolina Stingrays. Coach Dan, what's going on down on the farm?
Let's start, as we usually do, in Hershey, where the Bears went 0-0 as all of their games got rescheduled.
Yikes.
Yeah. Hershey's home game that was originally scheduled for November 28th will now be played on Wednesday, January 5th against Lehigh Valley at the Giant Center. The game will be at 7 o'clock. And then their road game that was supposed to be at Lehigh Valley that was originally supposed to be played back on December 4th, that's also been rescheduled. It will now take place on Sunday, February 13th, just after 2 o'clock at the PPL Center. And then Hershey's home game that was originally scheduled for December 5th will now be played on Tuesday, February 22nd versus Wilkes-Barre Scranton at 7 o'clock at the Giant Center. They're going to restart their season on Saturday in Wilkes-Barre Scranton before hosting Laval on Sunday at the Giant Center. They'll then head back to Wilkes-Barre Scranton on Tuesday. So nice little drive back and forth for some reason. Down in South Carolina, the Stingrays went 2-1 with both of their wins being over Greenville. Now they're currently tied for fourth in the South Division with 20 points, three back of first place Orlando. They'll be back at it with an extended trip to Idaho with three games on Wednesday, Friday, and then Saturday. That's what's going on down on the farm.
The hotbed for hockey, Idaho.
Yeah. Hockey, it's big. It's big there.
Big. Okay. All right. Go Idaho. All right. Well, hey, go Bears. Go Stingrays. Get well soon, Bears. Hopefully we can play some hockey soon for the Hershey Bears. COVID sucks, guys. All right, that's it for what's going on down on the farm. Now let's go around the NHL and beyond. Everybody, here we go. We're going around the NHL and beyond. Plenty of stuff going on in the hockey world. Coach Dan, catch us up. What is going on around the NHL and beyond?
Well, let's start in the great city of Vancouver, where their owner clearly had had enough as he fired general manager Jim Benning and head coach Travis Green. Stan Smile, which the way his name pronounced makes him kind of sound like he'd be a Spider-Man villain. He takes over as the interim general manager while Caps legend Bruce Boudreau takes over as head coach. I thought he was done after Minnesota. Didn't he come out at some point and say when his time in Minnesota was over that he was done coaching in the NHL?
I'm sure.
He didn't want to, like, you know, move his family around and stuff.
Well, I thought he said that, and then he brought up the Hershey Cubs, invested in the Hershey team, and now he's going
to
the other
coast. Well, this is more money for him to... to push energy. I mean, I saw some clips from his press conference in Vancouver. He talked about how he always wanted to coach in Canada and how he talked to a bunch of people before accepting the job, and that they had some really good pieces there he's excited to work with. Worked out pretty well. They beat up on LA and won 4-0.
So this is what happened. Bruce Boudreau was like, you know what? I'm done. I'm not coaching anymore. Bring. Yeah, so he's got an old-timey phone. Picked it up, and he was like, hello? No, I'm done coaching. How much? You have a Haagen-Dazs? I'm there. Click. That's how it went.
And a Tim Hortons.
Oh, yeah. Got to have the Tim Hortons, eh?
Now, Vancouver also dismissed assistant GM John Wiesbrod and assistant coach Nolan Baumgartner. They let those guys go. Boudreau named one-time capital Scott Walker as an assistant coach. Now, the Canucks weren't the only ones looking to make a change in Philly as they fired their head coach, Alain Vigneault, and assistant coach, Michel Therrien. Mike Yeo, who was the assistant coach, will take over. He formerly was the head coach with Minnesota.
Now, Buffalo, let me ask you, before you go on, all right, so think about the Rock the Red era of the Capitals.
Mm-hmm.
Who do you think that currently is not still playing would be a good cog for a Bruce Boudreau-led hockey team to be a coach for? Like, who could be a good goalie coach, defensive coach, offensive coach that was from the Rock the Red era as a player who could now be a coach for under Bruce Boudreau?
If they need a fighting coach, Alexander Seven.
No, it's terrible.
It'd be great with the bongos. He'd be fantastic.
Yeah, it's a bongo man.
I don't know. But wait, who is not currently playing anymore?
Not playing right now. Like,
so you're looking at like you know what? Canoe.
That's the name I was hoping you were going to say.
Canoe or Arnott, I feel like, would be.
Ooh, Arnott. I didn't think of him. That's a good one.
Yeah, he wasn't. Not a long time capital, but Jason Arnott, Mike Canoe, I think would be good ones. Chris Clark, potentially.
Chris Clark.
I don't know because I don't really know if they ever wanted to. But Clark could be good. I'd be curious about Like.
Yeah, I don't know what he's doing now. He's got his personal stuff going on.
Fitness thing or something. And then
What about Alsner? Do you think he could be a good coach?
I think he might be more of the radio TV kind of guy.
He does have his new podcast coming out. If you'd like to come on our show and talk, he's more than welcome.
I think that'd be fun. That would be interesting. I don't know. I'm going Knubel and Arnott as my top two choices.
Yeah, Knubel was the first name when I thought about that really jumped out to me. Be like, yeah, I bet you. I mean, he played under Bruce. They know each other really well. He was a smart player. I think he could fit right in as a coach, especially working with Bruce Boudreau.
I think so. I like that idea. I'm going with Knubel. In other news, Buffalo acquired goalie Malcolm Subban from Chicago for future considerations. And then it wouldn't be the end of the show without a couple of guys getting suspended or fined.
Yeah.
As Winnipeg's Neil Pionk was suspended. I hope that's how you pronounce his last name because it sounds fun to say. He was suspended for 2 games for kneeing Toronto's Rasmus Sandin. And apparently that game got a little testy as Toronto's Wayne Simmonds was fined $22.50 for cross-checking Winnipeg's Jansen Harkins. So, I don't know. Toronto, Winnipeg apparently not getting along right now. But that's the news for the past week in the NHL and beyond.
Lots of stuff going on. But, Coach, Coach, is that the show for this week?
I think that's it. Let's wrap it up.
Gonna wrap it up. Cap's got a couple days off.
Doing the finger twist thing.
Yeah, that's what we're doing. Cap's got a couple days off. We got some hockey to prepare for on Friday. So if you guys would like to continue the conversation during that downtime, you know where to reach us. You can always tweet to me at Brando Cash. Coach Dan, where can people tweet to you at?
You can find me on Twitter at WTP Coach Dan, occasionally talking all kinds of Capitals related things. I find that I don't have as much time to tweet anymore having a kid. Like, I have a hard time watching the freaking games.
Yeah.
With, like, him. Well, he likes watching hockey, and sometimes we lie in bed as he falls asleep watching hockey. But, yeah, it's tougher, man. But I'm on there talking about Caps, Arsenal Football Club, and every time it's two steps forward, two steps back. The Bills, that went well. Screw you, Ryan. And Washington Football Team actually got a win over the Raiders.
I did not have
another
them
sports
in my pool.
What?
I did not have them in my pool.
And other sports-related things, finding me on Twitter at WTPCoachDan. But hey, if you've enjoyed the show, go ahead and check us out on Facebook, facebook.com/WhatThePuckPod. It's where we'll post when new shows are coming out, as well as all sorts of other things related to the Washington Capitals, the Hershey Bears, South Carolina Stingrays. I'm tired, everybody. Hershey Cubs, when things pop up. I still need one of those jerseys. Those are kind of fun. And other things related to the National Hockey League. That is facebook.com/WhatThePuckPod. But Brandon, if people have enjoyed this show, I talked about the Bills. Once again, screw you, Ryan. And the Washington Football Team. But if they happen to enjoy a team that also suffered a defeat like my Buffalo Bills did this past weekend. Ours is Monday night, but that's not really the point. Kind of ruins what I was going for. Is there a particular podcast they should be following?
Yeah, absolutely. Which, by the way, the Patriots beat up on the Bills. I'm predicting I'm predicting it right here, beginning of December, Super Bowl, Tampa Bay, New England, today.
No, that's not going to happen because not everyone is going to be make as poor decisions as freaking McDermott did in that game.
I'm calling.
How is it that the guy that their quarterback could throw three freaking passes the entire game and they come out with a win? And the fact that every time they gave off to Singletary, it was I can't remember the guy's name. I'm blanking on it at the moment. Right up the freaking middle. It wasn't working. Stop it. Right up to the outside. And the fact that Dawson Knox forgot how to catch the ball. Stephon Diggs had an easy touchdown. He dropped. Diggs is the man. Maryland native. It's fantastic. They just had a bad game.
He also had a bad game. The Baltimore Ravens had a bad game up against the Pittsburgh Steelers, and you can hear me and my buddy Josh talk all about that game on this week's episode of The Call. It is a Baltimore Ravens podcast, and we review, preview games, just kind of like what we do here with What the Puck, but it's about the Baltimore Ravens. Little preview of that show, Josh messaged me right after that failed two-point conversion at the end of the game and said, why would you do that? Just go to overtime. I'm going to disagree with him. I like the call. So you get to hear about why I like that call, even though we lost on this week's episode of The Call. You'll have to tune in and subscribe wherever you subscribe to this show. And you can subscribe to this show on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, TuneIn, Player.fm, Overcast, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Facebook, and YouTube. All we ask in return is for you to please spread the word about the show. We do the show for free, so all you got to do is write us an Apple Podcast review and then let people know on Facebook and Twitter and Tumblr and Pinterest and Instagram and Reddit and Snapchat and Twitch and TikTok, anywhere we're social on the web or with your phone. Say, I'm a Washington Capitals fan. I listen to What the Puck, and you should too. So only two games to go over until we talk again. Like we said, this Friday, December 10th, the Capitals are up against the Pittsburgh Penguins in D.C., so if you are local, you can watch that in person at Capital One Arena. And then if you are not local, you can watch it on ESPN Plus and Hulu. And then on Saturday, back-to-back games, they travel up to Buffalo, 7 o'clock game. You can watch that game on NBC Sports Washington Plus. And then early next week, Coach Dan and I will be back. We got to figure out exactly what day we're going to record, but we'll figure that out later. You guys don't have to worry about it. There'll be a show. Don't worry. So I think that's pretty
Tuesday?
Much. I'm thinking Tuesday. Probably yeah. Tuesday.
I think Tuesdays. Thursday? We're getting...
We're getting close to Christmas, so I can't do Thursday. I got a Christmas party I got to go to.
Tuesday it is, guys.
Tuesday. So
see you at some point on Wednesday.
Yeah, hear us on Wednesday before we go to Chicago. So that is it for the show this week. Everybody, say it loud, say it proud. Let's go, Caps.
This has been a production of Brando Cash Entertainment. Music by DJ Wolfman. Voiceover by Sarah Jacks. For more information, go to brandocash.com.